This week on Language Lab, we're talking about multilingualism. What is it and what does it look like around the world? Here to chat with us is our favourite local linguist, Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, who is Chair of Linguistics and Director of Language Lab at the University of Western Australia. This is a topic related to a lecture Celeste will be presenting at UWA on Thursday, 19 October, in just a couple of weeks' time, which is very exciting. The lecture is titled, What Does It Really Mean to Be Culturally and Linguistically Diverse? A big question. And if you'd like to attend, it's totally free and you get delicious free lunch afterwards. We'll share the details online a bit later. But to Celeste this morning, good morning.
Good morning, Dani. How are you?
Really well. Glad to be with you for Language Lab today. Let's kick us off. What is multilingualism?
Yeah, so multilingualism, such an interesting topic. And it really can be defined differently depending on what kind of literature you're reading or where you are in the world. But what it means is an individual or a society, so it's a state, the state of an individual or a society, where multiple languages are used. There is another term that people may have come across, which is the term bilingual or bilingualism, which technically, strictly speaking, refers to someone who can speak two different languages. Sometimes used to refer to an individual or a society that speaks more than one language, and still, the terms may still be bilingualism, but what it means is someone who speaks more than one language. Now, where it gets really interesting is how exactly do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line in terms of what it means to speak a language or to use a language in the case of sign language? And something we tend to do here at UWA Linguistics when we're teaching our first year students is ask them, or what we know whenever we teach about multilingualism, how many languages do you speak? Or hands up whoever speaks more than one language, or hands up whoever is bilingual. And a lot of people actually refrain from raising their hands because they feel as though they are not bilingual or multilingual. And so a lot of people think that it's about being able to use two or more languages to the same extent. So say being equally fluent in English and Spanish, that would apply to me, right? But that's not the case, right? So some people will be fluent in their home language or their dominant language. They'll be really fluent in a foreign or second language, and they'll be able to write, for example, in both those languages, and then there'll be another language, for instance, which they're able to use to maybe a basic or an intermediate degree, and that still qualifies them as multilingual.
Aha, so super interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so how common is multilingualism? We're talking about, groups of people or perhaps countries that there are multiple languages which are spoken within that particular area, right?
Yeah, so multilingualism is extremely common, and there is a misconception in many Western industrialized societies that most people speak just English or just one global language, but that is actually the vast minority of people in the world. The majority of people in the world are multilingual. And so Grace Shepherd, our wonderful intern who prepared today's episode, found this really interesting statistic where there are more than 6,000 languages spoken in the world today, but only 200 nations as such. And, you know, again, I'm not sure how this was, you know, the math is done because the definition of nation may be problematic as well. Mm-hmm. But say when we think about nation, the word nation in terms of a political structure that is in place that has sort of like an official language and a number of other frameworks in place and that are they constitute, these nations tend to constitute the mainstream. So if you think about it that way and you've got this mainstream sort of framework in place and think, okay, there are 200 of those, but there's more than 6,000 languages, so the math, you know, just doesn't add up. So what this suggests is that people in around the world speak multiple languages, and those nations speak multiple languages. And when we look at Australia, it gets really interesting because I guess we could take a, you know, it's like a two-pronged thing of saying, okay, on the one hand, there's multilingualism that has existed in what we now call Australia for at least 60,000 years with First Nations in Australia, which, you know, for the longest time, multilingualism existed and still does, and multiple ancestral First Nations languages were used and are used in Australia. So that's one kind of side of things. And then there's the other side of things of all of us who are not from Australia ancestrally and have come through migration and, you know, through invasion and later on migration. All of those people brought with them their own languages and their own varieties of language. So right now, Australia is incredibly diverse. The only thing that stands out as such when you look at countries like Canada, for example, and Australia, is that whereas in Canada we've got this official multilingualism or bilingualism where English and French are the official languages of Canada, that's not the case in Australia. In Australia, the de facto mainstream language is, yes, you guessed it, English. and that's why every single time we've talked about English in Australia on Language Lab, I have said repeatedly that there are many different varieties of English just because of this sheer multilingualism. So each individual who brings with them languages other than English will use English that is kind of tailor-made for that person and those languages. And when you've got communities of people, say like Aboriginal English, then, you know, it becomes indigenized and so on. So there's so much variety, so much diversity in terms of different languages and also in terms of different varieties of a single language here in Australia.
Yeah, the diversity is just incredible, especially when you think of the Australian context, as we've been discussing. What are the differences between a monolingual society and multilingual societies? What sort of differences are there?
Yeah, so in a monolingual society, the expectation is that there will be a single mainstream language, which is sometimes known as a standard language. I tend to use the term standardized because the process of standardizing a language is exactly what I just said, a process. In a monolingual society, there will be a mainstream variety that is favored and that is actually used widely, be it the media, be it the school system and the language that children are taught for literacy, be it the legal system. And so this sort of this mainstream variety is the one that most people aspire to. And there's just the one. And the one that most people will use, whether they want to or not, they sometimes are made to because these are the languages that are used. And they provide this linguistic capital, providing all these sort of, you know, entry points into wealth and just you know, making it in society. And so so that's a monolingual society. And then if you look at a multilingual or bilingual society, you actually have various different languages that are said to be official languages. And so what you then get is, for example, signage that is appearing both in all of those official languages. And when you go to school, you will get instruction in different languages. Now, that is a very kind of idealistic look at things. What tends to happen is that one or two of those languages stand out. So if you look at a place like Singapore, for example, where you've got four different official languages, including Malay, which is the national language, but then also Singaporean English, Singaporean Mandarin, and Tamil. So you've got all of these different languages And so then you get sayings in four different languages. You get sort of people's ethnic identity very clearly represented through the language or the kind of networks that they have. So it's a, and it creates a really different attitude that kind of takes multilingualism to be the rule and just the way that things are, rather than thinking of multilingualism as the exception, which is what I was referring to at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Endlessly fascinating stuff, Celeste. Thank you so much for joining us on the Language Lab today.
My pleasure.